Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
So sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
And I can make a firm pledge under my plan, no family making less than $250,000.
Let me say it as simply as I can.
Any form of
transparency
tax.
And the rule of law will be the touchstone.
You got a business
of this president.
That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Even presidents need reminding that our rights come from nature and God and not from government. The right that makes all the difference now is the right to choose our own leaders. And you are entitled to the clearest possible choice, because the time for choosing is
Missouri
drawing near.
Grassroots Radio is proud to present your favorite hillbilly, Mr. Kevin Harned.
Thank you for tuning in tonight to Missouri Grassroots Radio, and as Dave just announced, I am Kevin Harned, hopefully your favorite hillbilly. We've got a lot of things going on. We got a vice presidential debate coming up later this evening that I'm sure that many of you will tune into. And it's another reason why I didn't have a guest on tonight. A lot of different things to cover. Talk a little bit about Missouri hospitals and what's going on with Medicare with them. Also about Todd Akin, senior advisor to his campaign, who's talking about the $40 million in taxpayer money that has been received by U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill over the past 5 years. So that's just a few of the things that we want to touch on. And I've also got a clip that I really... You know, I'm unaware of it being played anywhere else, to my knowledge, and it should be definitely in line with a Todd Akin commercial. I really don't I don't know how he doesn't run this sound clip on any of his commercials, and I've yet to see it, but it's a great clip. And if you want to join me this evening, the number is 347-677-1835. Hopefully we will, Dave Court may be joining us a little bit later. But in the meantime, let's talk about, you know, there's one time that Saturday Night Live is worth watching, and that is during the political season. And whenever we are talking about, you know, at least every 4 years, they've really had some pretty darn good skits lately whenever it comes to a lot of the different debates and a lot of the other things that are going on. It's well, for instance, here's an example right here.
We now return to the MSNBC special report. 3 days later, a look back at the Obama debate disaster.
Good evening. I'm Rachel Maddow, and tonight we try and pick up the pieces and make sense of Barack Obama's performance Wednesday's debate. Or as we're calling it at MSNBC, the worst thing that ever happened anywhere. Joining me tonight, the Reverend Al Sharpton.
I'll never forget where I was the night of that debate. I was here.
Our one conservative contributor, F.C. Cup.
This has been the best week of my life.
And joining us from outside the University of Colorado, where he has refused to eat, shower, or sleep since the debate, Chris Matthews.
Hey, what the hell happened? I want answers!
Reverend Sharpton, we'll start with you. How do you think the president did?
Well, I think he did bad. But I would like now to make an excuse for why he was bad. You see, Obama was poisoned by the altitude. You see, Denver, Colorado was a mile high. Now, there's no way to know for sure how many feet that is. But it could be upwards of a million. Now, Obama's from Hawaii, which is a mile below the earth. So for him, speaking in Colorado was like being flung 2 miles straight into the air and then having to give a speech in outer space.
Chris, were you disappointed in the president's performance?
Disappointed? Never been so disgusted in my life. I feel bad forever. I had to, you know, move the podiums afterwards because Obama took a giant dump behind his.
Pretty harsh, Chris.
That's true. He stunk. It's one thing that President Obama had nothing to say, but why was he letting Governor Romney talk? Forgot the first rule of debating. Always be interrupting. When I don't have points to make on my show, I make up for it by screaming at people. That's how you win a debate.
Well, Chris, I don't know about that.
Bye, you're wrong. See, debate's over. I win.
All right, Essie Cup, anything to add from the conservative perspective?
No, Rachel, I'm happy to just listen and smile. I believe the term is gloating.
Rachel, if I may, I've come up with another excuse. Jet lag. Colorado is 2 time zones behind Washington. That makes it very hard for the internal clock to adjust. Also, Denver is in what's known as the Western Hemisphere. So, say you need to go to the bathroom in Washington, D.C. When you flush, the water goes clockwise. Whereas in Colorado, when you flush, the water shoots straight up your ass. And you can throw a man off his game.
I'll admit, it wasn't the president's best night, but was Romney any better? I mean, why isn't the media talking more about this classic Romney gaffe?
And state of a state, you're going to get what you got last year, plus inflation.
Talk much, Governor? Is it inflation or inflation? If so, what is inflation? Let's take another look.
Plus inflation.
Not exactly presidential. And can we freeze-frame it for a second? Nice face, Governor. I don't know how they're going to spin that one.
Okay. I have a third worst excuse. I believe that on the night of the debate, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama switched bodies. Perhaps. And this is just a theory. Perhaps they were exchanging pleasantries backstage, and Mitt said, "Man, it's not easy raising 5 boys. And then Barack said, "You should try raising 2 girls. And then they laughed, and at the exact same time, they said, "What I wouldn't give to switch places." Lightning strike, just like that. Romney's cool, Obama got no game.
Moving forward, any advice for Obama in his second debate, Chris?
Yeah, stop being a pussy. Yeah, push around for 90 minutes. You didn't make him fear you again. All right, it's time to go full-blown Tyson. Show up in the next debate with a face tattoo. Not one of those subtle ones, but one of these jobs, you know? When he goes to shake your hand, you bite his ear, you spit on the ground, you yell, "What are you going to do, arrest me? I'm the President of the United States."
Okay, all right, let's take a break. When we return, a new segment called "Is Winning the Election Even That Important?" Answer might surprise you.
And welcome to Missouri Grassroots Radio. It works a lot better when you got the mic on, so I apologize for that earlier. But joining us on this election eve, or not election eve, but debate evening, as everybody is warming up to catch the vice presidential debate and some of the fireworks that may come out of that, I'm sure Joe will be on his toes this evening as an attack dog, and Ryan will be trying to make a case for the people, and possibly also acting as an attack dog like many times the vice president does. I'm Hillbilly Kevin, and tonight some of the things we're going to kick around. We've got one definite sound clip that should be a Todd Akin commercial, and if it isn't, shame on Todd, because I think that this would make the absolute perfect commercial considering our economic climate. We've also got some different things to talk about, including the $40 million that businesses or affiliations that is affiliated with Claire's husband received recently, and got a little sound clip on that. We've also... just looking at the different things, we've got Missouri hospitals that are that are actually being penalized tens of millions of dollars. We're going to touch on that. We've got a lot of things coming on if you'd like to join me. Also, you can call in at 347-677-1835. Hopefully Dave will be able to join us a little bit later. That's Dave Court. And, of course, he has the shows on Monday called The Hour of Truth. And truth is a powerful thing, folks. So, again, thank you for joining me this evening. One other thing that we're going to touch on is the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education is urging schools to provide more breakfast for their students. Now, this falls more along the Culture Vigilante Hour, which is on Wednesday evenings with Lisa. But we are going to just touch on it lightly, and it might be something else that you look for updates on her fine program. Just looking into, again, Saturday Night Live was just a clip that we played just then. And Saturday Night Live is really worth watching every 4 years. They're always at their best on the election years. There's some other little skits that's pretty good on there. That was the Matthews skit with Rachel Maddow and others, at least actors and actresses that are playing them. And again, like I said, I wanna play the McCaskill soundbite earlier, and it's actually a video, and I was able to rip the soundbite from it. Now, this is one other little clip that I really found humorous. And it is portraying President Obama in Ohio.
Hi, I got laid off in 2009, and I still haven't found a job. I don't want to vote for Romney, but I really thought things would be better by now.
Real change takes more than one term, or even one president. I don't know if it will even happen in 8 years. Might take 12. Frankly, I might be long dead. Who here has a job? Oh, there we go. And what do you do, sir?
I'm a manager at Burger King.
And where were you 4 years ago? Probably working the counter, right?
I was a vice president for Bank of America.
Oh, okay. The point is that today you're a manager at one of America's biggest companies. That's a success story. Probably get free burgers, right?
No one gets free burgers. I actually had to fire a guy for eating a burger while on the clock. He got so mad he threw a brick through the window. So
there you go. Free brick. Anyone else feel they're much better off than 4 years ago? Yes, sir. And what do you do?
I don't have a job. I just won a lot of money in a lawsuit last year.
I see.
Yeah, I was eating at a Burger King and some guy just hit me with a brick.
There you go. Circle of life. Look, can we at least agree that Mitt Romney would be worse?
Yeah. Again, a little clip from Saturday Night Live is that every 4 years they come to life and actually put out some pretty entertaining stuff. This, a little more on the serious note, as we're talking about the senatorial election here in the state of Missouri. We've got Congressman Todd Akin, senior advisor to his campaign, Rick Tyler, that is discussing that's talking about the $40 million in taxpayer money that has been received by U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill over the past 5 years. As Tyler says, that the money came from a state stimulus bill. Now, Claire McCaskill voted for the bill, and Todd voted against it. And in that particular bill, what's interesting is her comments surrounding the bill, he says. First, she said the bill was for creating jobs and stimulating the economy. We know that the stimulus bill was an economic failure. It neither created jobs nor stimulated the economy.
Congressman Todd Akin, senior advisor Rick Tyler, is saying it's in dispute about the spending and how she personally benefited from it. He says the worst part is...
In many of these companies, her husband, Joseph Shepard, is listed as the general partner. In many of these cases, the LLCs are owned by other entities that are also owned by Joseph Shepard. I've seen that. I've seen the paperwork on that with his signature on it. So I assume when you own a company that you would benefit.
He says people don't go into business to not make money.
If she has an interest in these companies, and that she's making money, and that money is taxpayer money, that people at a minimum deserve to know that. And we know that $39 million, and as far as I know, before yesterday, I don't think any Missouri voter was aware that $39 million of taxpayer money went into companies that she either owned or had an interest in.
Mary Ferrucci, Missouri Net, Jefferson City.
And again, we'd like to thank the folks at Missouri Net for providing that. But one of the ways to look at this, too, is what do we have? We have millionaires profiting off of low-income families and off of the taxpayer also. So that is something that that Todd is running with, and I have saw commercials that feature that particular thing. Now, one of the other things that honestly, and this is off of a little private video that was shot at one of Claire's events some time ago, but still, nonetheless, it's one that I never hear mentioned hardly at all. And if you listen to this clip, I think you'll get the general idea.
Well, the good news is our emissions are way down because of the recession. We are. I mean, you know, really, if you want to find the silver lining, this cloud, the number that we were looking for, we are well, well above where the emissions would have been, assuming for purposes of recession, cap and trade was passed a few years ago, because we have had such a real drop in manufacturing output. Now, I didn't mean really good news. I meant... I was being sarcastic again in the context, but our emissions are way down because of, unfortunately, the lack of economic activity we've had over the last couple of years.
Is it unfortunate or is it good news? And there is a classic case, I'm telling you, if the Aiken campaign doesn't grab that and run with it in this present economic climate that we are in, for McCaskill to be sharing the silver lining that carbon emissions are down, the greenhouse gas emissions are down because of the down economy. This is exactly the kind of stuff, folks. If you Google, or if you don't like to choose to use Google, use one of the other search engines and type in high gas prices are good, you will end up with hundreds of thousands of pages of sites that will tell you all the benefits of high gas prices. And this, Claire, just espoused one of the biggest, and that is in a down economy, you are going to have less use of fossil fuels. And there's a classic case, and that's the nut and bolts that you're going to find behind cap and trade or behind the EPA's attempts to shut down coal companies, as the president has said. You know, if you want to open a coal-fired power plant, you can, but it's going to break you, and there's the intent. If you live in Missouri and you've recently received your request for an Ameren hike of 17%, thank you, EPA, because the EPA is in lawsuits with Ameren over their coal-fired plant down at Rush Island. We've got a multitude of EPA activity here in the Jefferson County area. If you look at the Doe Run lead smelter in Herky, they can claim that all the credit for running that company and the hundreds of jobs that are associated with it out of this county. And those are fine-paying jobs. Those are good-paying jobs. Those will not be replaced anytime soon. We're trying to get some things worked up with port authority situation where maybe we could bring some jobs back into this area. That is something that Jefferson County is working on. But the bottom line is we had good paying jobs at Doe Run facility, and once again, the EPA has badgered and find these people out of existence. The same thing that they're doing with the coal. You know, I saw the other day that they are demanding and screaming for the government to look into improprieties whenever it comes to the coal miners backing Romney. Are you kidding me? This guy is directly after your jobs, and they want a federal inquiry into why they're supporting Romney. All you got to do is just play some of President Obama's sound clips, and you've got all the evidence you need for wanting to back President Romney in that case. One of the one of the things that has always irked me too is the closing of the Fenton Chrysler plant, and that's Fenton, Missouri. They came in, they took federal tax dollars in a bailout of Chrysler, and then one of the first things they did was ship those jobs to Mexico, close that plant down at a cost to this area of over $1 billion. And this was a government estimates whenever they did a total and complete economic report on the economic impact of closing Chrysler to this vicinity, to the Fenton area, and it exceeded $1 billion whenever you factored in everything. There's a case, and you know, I hate to say it, but where was the United Auto Workers? And really, where are any Republicans that are asking, hey, why was President Obama willing to throw these union jobs under the bus, literally? Nobody's asking that question, and I don't get it. Instead, you have, quite frankly, just the opposite. There are instances to where candidate Romney is giving union people that are looking for other options. He's deflecting them by making stances statements that he supports. Right to work, and that he's going to, you know, he would promote a national right to work policy. Well, you know what? That's a state's rights issue. Why would anybody chime in on that? That makes absolutely no sense, regardless of what his feelings were. I mean, that's the kind of mistakes that really make no sense whenever people are looking for an alternative. Why give them a reason to oppose you? And one of the other things that I wanted to talk about right away is the dozens of Missouri hospitals that are being penalized tens of millions of dollars by the Medicare program because too many of their patients are going back for treatment within 30 days of their release. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services can fine hospitals 1% of their Medicare funds if their readmission rates are higher than average, and the rates of 76 Missouri hospitals have been checked. 53 are being penalized for having excessive readmissions of patients treated for pneumonia, heart attack, or heart failure. 5 hospitals are losing the full 1%. And the Medicare Payment Advisory Council says the 3 conditions highlighted this year represent the highest categories of patients hospitalized and later readmitted. It could recommend patients in other categories be included in the system in the next 2 years. The Missouri Hospital Association Vice President Dave Dillon says the penalty program will change the way that hospitals provide care.
We have to spend a lot more time making sure that once an individual is transitioned out of the hospital environment, that they do the kind of things that you should do, like see your primary care physician and refill your prescription. The individuals that in the conditions that I mentioned and in other areas that may in the future be listed for readmissions, the care we provide isn't going to change, but the responsibility for following up and ensuring the individual doesn't end up back in a hospital or in an emergency department at a hospital is going to change.
And once again, there's going to be hospitals, 53 of them that are going to suffer repercussions because some of the folks just are not following the outpatient, or not the outpatient, but whenever they release them, the directions. You know, many that will visit the hospital will not have follow-up visits with their doctors, along with other things. I really don't know how a hospital is going to try to assure that occurs. Again, you're listening to Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. I'm Kevin, the head hillbilly around here. And we are hopefully going to be joined by Dave Cord. It's not anything affirmed, but if we're not, we've got plenty of other things to talk about. Again, I thought Saturday Night Live skits were absolutely awesome. And we're gonna go ahead and take a quick break and talk about sponsorship of the Missouri Grassroots Radio Network.
Father, forgive them, for they know not
Market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details. Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
The Secret Santa that the Missouri Grassroots Coalition puts on is one of the neatest little ideas that I've ever come across. And whatever you think about what happens is every single penny goes that's donated to it goes to paying off layaway bills of those that obviously can't afford it. Because what Terry did last year, and I'm talking about Terry Varner, he walked into stores and checked on layaway on Christmas Eve, and whenever it looked like it was obvious that these folks was not going to be able to come in and pay off their bill just because they hadn't been making any payments or anything on it, Missouri Grassroots Coalition actually paid off all but $10 of their bill and had the store call them and let them know that that they can come in and for that minimal amount can pay off the rest of their layaway and provide Christmas for their kids. And that is one of the neatest things that I've heard of. It's a great program, great cause. They're getting a little closer to the goal. It's a very modest goal, folks. If you want to get your churches involved, if you want to get anybody else involved, it's a great cause. And again, go by Missouri Grassroots Coalition's homepage and click on the Secret Santa and make a contribution, or you know, try to get your churches involved, or other organizations involved, and or possibly even you know little fundraisers, little things to do. Because what a neat gift! What a neat gift! And it's people that are not expecting it. It's people that are not expecting somebody to come in at the last minute and help provide Christmas for their kids. And that is that's a very neat cause. If you want to call in tonight and talk about anything that we've talked about, 347-677-1835. I am Hillbilly Kevin, and this, as we were talking about Lisa, who is really kind of spearheading the Secret Santa thing too, and the cause. She is also the culture vigilante on Wednesday nights here at Missouri Grassroots Radio. And one of the things that she focuses on is schools, different things that are happening in our culture that we should be concerned about. And here is where I'm looking at the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education is urging schools to provide more breakfast for their students. The department, through a program called Missouri School Breakfast Challenge, is offering cash prizes for schools to increase enrollment in their breakfast programs. And what it is the program is open to all public and private schools, And those schools that have at least a 20% increase can get like a $4,000 cash prize. And, you know, I really wonder about a lot of these programs. Whenever we hire workers, let's say it's one thing to offer assistance, but like whenever we hire workers to go into neighborhoods and try to recruit people for food stamp eligibility, it just, you know, you really have to wonder what the intent is. I think it goes beyond feeding the folks. I think it's just a present day form of trying to buy votes. It's one thing, to actually offer that help to those that seek it, but to go out and seek them and try to ensure that they qualify for the program and you can get them on the rolls really seems kind of detrimental to, well, for one thing, our budget, another thing, to try to get people enabled on the government assistance and try to ensure their votes for years to come. Really don't know how else to put it. I know that we are getting ready for a vice presidential debate. We're closing in on it here in just a little bit, and I'm sure a lot of you are tuned into that and listening to some of the pre-debate talk. The moderator for the next presidential debate, Candy Crawley, I read an article that had featured her, and it was talking about all the pressure and everything else and what her strategy would be in moderating this next debate. And I found one particular paragraph to be quite interesting. And this is her statement. I don't know that I feel a whole lot different. I feel important of it in some ways. We went into the first debate with everyone saying the debates never make any difference. And now it looks like at some level that debates made a difference. And so you wanted to make a difference for all the right reasons. And what might those reasons be, Candy? You want to be able to channel the voter and say, what do they need to know? And that was a statement by Candy Crawley. And one of the things I really thought was interesting, and so, you know, here it is again. Everyone was saying before the first debate, the debates never make any difference, and now it looks like at some level that debate made a difference. And so you want it to make a difference for all the right reasons. I find that very interesting. It'll be interesting because that format's a little different. They have to select the questions that the audience is going to ask. And whenever she was that was brought up to her, her statement was, we don't do it until that day, which adds this whole other kind of level of tension. We like to think as reporters that we hopefully are asking the questions that people might like to know the answer to. I don't think I'm that far out of normal voter land and that I don't know what people are thinking about. I've made an effort to talk to the everyday people in my life and say, what's still bugging you? Now, again, I guess it depends on who you're hanging with, because whenever you make a statement like I've made an effort to talk to the everyday people in my life, what's still bugging you? I talk to experts and say, has this been clarified? I feel like I know what the general areas they're going to ask. And so with that, you go, okay, where do we go with this question and that? So again, a couple little tidbits that really I think may enlighten us on the mindset or at least the thought process of a moderator, and one that I'm not so sure is a moderator. So that's something to kick around. And again, those were quotes from Candy Crawley as reported. And that is going to be coming up next week. So we'll see how all that goes. But one of the things that recently ended on the world circuit was there was a festival in Peru. And I don't know if any of you guys caught that, but PETA wasn't too wild about it. They really protested the event in 2008. It's a huge festival, but their protest in 2008 apparently made no effect because, once again, it was huge because every September the town of La Quebrada holds a huge celebration to honor Santa Efigwino. And that part of the celebration includes the Festival of the Cat. It is a cat-eating feast commemorating the time when early settlers were forced to survive on cat meat, or so the story goes, and dozens of cats are bred especially for the feline beast, and that is as reported by the BBC. Featured dishes include spicy cat stew and grilled cat with native hoikete herbs, and the meat reportedly has a flavor similar to rabbit. So if you missed out on the big Peruvian feast of feline, you're going to have to wait until next September because I'm sure they have to breed the stocks and build the market, let's just say, back up. If you'd like to join us in our conversation, 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. Hop on and give old Hillbilly Kevin an earful, both in something we can agree with or something we can disagree with. We're going to be closing in on tonight's debate. Should be very, very, very interesting. Speaking of interesting, and folks, I really think that this Benghazi information, even what little bit has gotten out, and the obvious attempt by the president and his administration to conceal and actually misinform the American people. What do they always like to say? Bush lied and people died. Well, here we go. People died and Obama continues to lie. And even John Stewart was giving him a lot of grief in a recent episode.
Tonight's topic, the terrorist attack last month on U.S. Embassy in Libya that killed four Americans, including our ambassador to that country. 3 days after the attack, the White House was still in fact-finding mode.
What I'm telling you is this is under investigation. This is obviously under investigation, an ongoing investigation.
Yes, good thinking. Wait till you have all the facts, sir. Although, in the same press conference, we did establish a hunch.
We have no information to suggest that it was a pre-planned attack. The unrest we've seen around the region has been in reaction to a video.
Yeah. Crappy Mohammed movie. That thing's like The Ring. 3 days after you watch it, embassies just burst into flames. So the administration's story was that one anti-Muslim video on YouTube happened to touch off a massive protest. That happened to occur on the anniversary of September 11th and happened to spread quickly to 27 other places. Seems implausible, but 2 days after Carney's press conference, they had an explanation for that, too.
Our current assessment is that what happened in Benghazi was, in fact, initially a spontaneous reaction to what had just transpired hours before in Cairo, almost a copycat of the demonstrations against our facility in Cairo, which were prompted, of course, by the video.
Copycats. So Libya wasn't The Ring, it was The Ring 2. So 5 days after the attack, the White House was still sticking to the video story. But on the eighth day, the director of National Counterterrorism Center went in front of Congress with a slightly different assessment.
I would say yes. They were killed in the course of a terrorist attack on our embassy.
Of course, he's going to say that was a terrorist attack. He runs the Counterterrorism Center. I mean, you know, the guy sees everything as a terror promise. Sort of like if you ask the Ghostbusters, they blame ghosts. You know what I mean? Or... if you ask the Foo Fighters, they... probably blame it on. Anyway, the gentleman had company in making that assessment.
It is, I think, self-evident that what happened in Benghazi was a terrorist attack.
Oh! How bad does it suck to the White House press secretary? Hey, get out there and tell him it was the video. Okay. Get out there and tell him it was a terrorist attack. Okay. Not to mention, judging by the sounds of that video, they apparently make him stand in a very special place while answering questions. But you know what? It's not so weird. I mean, it started out, the administration wasn't quite sure what happened. They made a couple of statements, which later they wanted to take back. And by day eight, they were very clear that this was a terrorist attack. So the president's spokesman says it's a terrorist attack. Cut to the president of the United States just 3 hours later.
I don't want to speak to something until we have all the information. What we do know is that the natural protests that arose because of the outrage over the video were used as an excuse by extremists to see if they can also directly harm U.S. interests.
So do you guys talk to each other? Or I mean, for God's sake, Hillary Clinton got the memo.
What happened in Benghazi was a terrorist attack.
So come on, Mr. President, try to get in a safer space.
I heard Hillary Clinton say that it was an act of terrorism. Is it? What do you say?
Well, we're still doing an investigation. There's no doubt that the kind of weapons that were used, the ongoing assault, that it wasn't just a mob action.
And? I mean, it wasn't just a mob action, but it wasn't an act of terrorism either. What does that leave? What is it, Libyan St. Patrick's Day? What was going on? A quinceañera that got out of hand? Now, a cynic would argue that the president's been unwilling to admit our embassies were targeted by terrorists, because that will make him look bad right before an election. But hey, maybe all this back and forth has just been honest confusion. Maybe it just took a week or two for everyone to figure out what really happened in Libya. That's possible, right?
Our sources tell us that law enforcement officials knew within 24 hours that this was a terror attack.
Well, two things apparently have become clear. The attack on our embassy was planned and coordinated. The response to it, not so much. We'll be right back.
And while the president is thinking up the next excuse, you know, he's right. The video was used by extremists. Unfortunately, they all happen to occupy the White House and are part of the administration. While they think of once again, maybe another angle they could use, we'll give them a little bit of yodeling music here on Hillbilly Logic. Anything? Nothing new? Mr. Bob Barker, how do you feel about that?
Too bad, too bad, too bad. Try it again.
And try it again they will, I'm sure. This is a huge, huge, huge scandal. And if it's and where are you gonna find it? You're not even gonna they're having hearings on this right now. And you're not even seeing really very, unless you're just like watching Fox News or maybe a couple of other news sources that may cover this. You're just not finding it. Nothing really but excuses, as the press always does. Recently, there's a lady by the name of Pamela Geller that's been running anti-jihadist advertising down in New York subways, and she's really taken a ton of heat. But I'm going to tell you, I really kind of admire how she handled CNN reporter in this particular exchange.
All right, our fifth story out front now is a controversial ad that many say is hateful toward Muslims. It will be showing up at New York City subway stations next week. And here is what it reads. In any war between the civilized man and the savage, support the civilized man. Support Israel. Defeat jihad. New York's Metropolitan Transportation Authority tried to reject this ad, but a federal judge ruled it free speech and forced them to put it up. Out front tonight, the woman behind the ad, Pamela Geller. I asked her why she's doing it.
Well, there have been a series of anti-Israel ads that have been running for years in the New York City subway system and New York City Metro Transit and across the country as well. I submitted my ads when anti-Semitic ads were running in the subway last year, September, and my ads were rejected. And, you know, the First Amendment protects all speech, not just ideas that we like, but ideas that we don't like, because then who would decide what's good and what's forbidden? The government? Violent rioters? So we sued. My organization sued. My law firm, American Freedom Law Center, mm-hmm. We triumphed. And it was a triumph of First Amendment because it wasn't just the fact that my ads had to go up. It was that the judge ruled that their regulations and standards were unconstitutional. So Monday was the day. Next Monday is the day they're scheduled to go up. I'm running them because I can.
All right, so you can. But does that mean that you should?
Well, why should we allow only one narrative out there? I think we need to talk about this. The fact that there's been such a visceral reaction to these ads, and particularly in the media, it, to me, speaks to a much larger problem. Mm-hmm. The problem is this increasing Sharia. The blasphemy laws under the Sharia says you cannot mm-hmm. offend Islam. You cannot criticize Islam.
But when you say one narrative, I see your ad, and I see the same narrative that an anti-Israel ad would have. It's a narrative of hate.
Really? I have to tell you, I think any war against innocent civilians is savagery. I think the tens of thousands of rockets coming into Israel from Gaza, targeting homes and schools is savagery. I think the murder of the Fogel family was savagery. I think the blowing up of a bus in Bulgaria, Jewish women and children on holiday is savagery. I think Daniel Pearl's beheading is savagery. I think that there is...
But why call the whole religion savages?
How am I doing that? There's no Islam in the ad or Muslim in the ad.
Okay, but the word jihad actually means struggle in technically in the Quran to improve yourself, to make yourself a better person. It doesn't mean just going out and suicide bombing people.
Well, I beg to differ.
But that is what the word means. It means struggle.
Actually, in the Quran, there nothing speaks to a spiritual struggle. It's all holy war. And the jihadists that are committing jihad are citing Quranic chapter and verse as a holy war.
And they may be, and I don't think that there's anybody in that religion, right, the people who would say, okay, I'm all right with that. The vast majority of Muslims would say that our religion is a religion of peace and tolerance and love, just like Jews would say, or Christians would say.
But Christians are not beheading people and slaughtering people in the name of Christ, and Jews are not doing it in the name of Hashem. There is a faction. There is a very significant faction of devout Muslims, jihadists, that believe in this. Now, clearly all Muslims do not sanction jihad and do not sanction what's going on, these violent protests. But I will not abridge my speech. I will not sacrifice my speech so as not to offend savages. And we do need to talk about this, Aaron. There have been
so close... let's talk about the word savage, all right?
Okay.
The word savage, dictionary word,
yeah.
When we refer uncivilized and barbarous, obviously, over history, this has been a word that has been used in very, very racially negative terms about African Americans. It's a word that is, I think, fair to say, people imply to be, feel is very negative and derogatory. So why did you choose to call them savages?
Because any war on the civilized man or innocent civilians is savagery. And you're accusing me of thought crimes. You're implying, you're twisting the message. There's a misinterpretation here. Any war on innocent civilians is savagery. It is a word. It is a dictionary-defined word. I frankly cannot cotton to this twisting of the word that it means something else. I meant what I said, and I stand behind it. There had been over 20...
What you said, though, was you're doing this because you have free speech.
No.
And just because I can come out and say all kinds of things about somebody because I can say it doesn't mean that I say it. That's what I'm saying.
But I don't think my message is controversial. There have been close to 20,000 Islamic attacks since 9/11, each one with the imprimatur of a Muslim cleric. We need to be able to discuss this thing. This doesn't mean that all Muslims subscribe to this, but there is a problem. And part of the problem is you can't talk about it. Look what's happening. If it's not my ad, then it's a Danish cartoon. If it's not a Danish cartoon, it's a Swedish cartoon. And now it's a French cartoon. And if it's not a French cartoon, it's a YouTube clip. And if it's not a YouTube clip, it's
what
a...
What did you think of the movie? The trailer. Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
No. Why would I see it?
I don't know. I mean, you've just someone who in the past has obviously taken on this issue. Obviously, you did not support the mosque near Ground Zero.
No, because it's a...
Along with actually Steve Klein, a man who was a consultant on the innocence of Muslims, along with Nikula.
I don't know Steve Klein. I don't care. It doesn't matter. This is freedom of expression. This is freedom of speech. It protects all speech. You don't like it? That's fine. You don't have to like it. But to try to bridge my speech is imposing the Sharia. You're imposing the blasphemy laws on a free society.
Well, whether I like it or anyone likes it isn't necessarily the point. The point is, if your goal is to try to create tolerance and deal with some of the hate and horrible acts that have happened, is your ad the way to do it?
Yes, we have to increase awareness on imposing the blasphemy laws in the West. And my way, there's no tolerance on my side. I don't want to kill anybody. I mean, there are things I see that get me very angry, but I'm not going to go out and burn embassies and kill people. I'm not going to do it.
What if someone was hurt because of your ad?
I'm not responsible for other people's actions. It doesn't make any sense. It's like a man going in to his bedroom and finding his wife with a man, and he kills him. He was very angry. He was very offended. Oh, he was? Okay, then he could kill him. I am not responsible for anyone's actions. And worse, I think your position is emboldening Islamic terrorism and emboldening extremism because you're sanctioning it. You're sanctioning the motive.
I don't believe that I'm sanctioning it
but
at all.
But you are, because I'm the problem. You're blaming the victim. I'm not the problem.
How are you the victim?
Because you're killing the messenger.
Messenger of what?
The messenger that we need to increase awareness of these attacks that have been inspired by jihad.
I think the world is acutely aware of those attacks.
Oh, I don't think so. The media refuses to talk about it. And when I do talk about it, we're marginalized.
Hey, you must not be a CNN watcher. It's been wall to wall for the past week.
The perception in the media in terms of jihad clearly is one that's couched in silencing the voices of freedom. I have, look at this ad. There were hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of anti-Israel ads across America. Nobody said boo. How come you didn't have the people on that ran those anti-Israel ads? Not one, but two in New York.
I am not familiar with those ads, but I want to ask you something important.
But you see, you're not
from both sides.
But you're not familiar with those ads, which tells you that there is a systemic, institutionalized, A, anti-Israel bias in the media, and B, there's
some... I have to say, I love visiting Israel, and across the Middle East. I would certainly not...
I'm not accusing you of anti-Semitism. I'm pointing something out to you. Nobody talked about the ads. It wasn't just you, Aaron. Nobody talked about the anti-Israel ads that were up on New York City Metro and that were up in New York City subways.
And once again, I apologize for anything. I've been on a tirade here, and I look up, and the microphone is off. I must have fat fingers this evening. As we're looking at different things, I mean, Pamela Geller made some wonderful, wonderful arguments in there. She showed us exactly how you debate with a liberal. She showed us exactly how you debate with somebody that is trying to sidetrack you, somebody that's trying to interject different things into the conversation and to try to throw you off your game and off your point. And she came back time after time after time. If you listen to Aaron from CNN, she used many of the same liberal tricks. She tried to pull racism into it through the term of savagery. She misstated what jihad was, completely gave it a new definition that I've never heard before. So this kind of thing, it goes on and on and on. And I thought, Pamela, hey, what, regardless of what you believe on her advertisements, this kind of stuff goes on and on and on. And she handled it well. I thought she handled herself extremely well. And that ought to be a model for how all the rest ought to handle the liberal press when it comes to how they function. We heard the little skit with Chris Matthews earlier. And I truly find him the most detestable of all commentators or all supposed news people on the planet. He is crotchety. He is that's a pretty good definition whenever they're talking about how to win a debate is to interrupt him, not let him talk, and yell him down, because he's really good at that. And I can assure you that he probably will not have Pamela Geller on anytime soon. Try to pick up other people. I know at one time they had asked Dave MacArthur to come on, and surprisingly, after interviewing him, they decided that no, they weren't going to go forward with that. Actually, that's not surprising. That makes perfect sense, because he's not a sheep, and he would have made him look bad, which unfortunately not enough people do. Now, whenever we're talking about, again, she didn't really brutalize the faith of Islam. She had mentioned, again, and we always have to clarify everything these days. We can't hardly make a statement without clarifying or quantifying it. And just to that, whenever she was talking about all Islamic people are not violent. No, they're not. And, I once had a young man that was calling on my daughter in a conversation. And I'm not even sure how we got there, but again, being the fine product of our school system, and honestly, I hear a lot of other people, and some that I have a relationship with or that I respect, make the statement that, well, radical Christianity is just as bad as radical Islam. And I have to say, you know, really? Are you really thinking about what you're saying? Because any movement has a leader, especially when we're talking about a political or a religious movement. And those within that movement, and this is what I told that young man, those within that movement emulate said leader. At least they're supposed to. They can certainly put the jacket or the coat on of the movement or the religion, and they could call themselves anything. But really, in any movement, they try to emulate the leader. And you know, whenever I see Nat Geo specials, especially around Easter, whenever you see a lot of different other things come up with all these radical, crazy proposed ideas about Jesus Christ, I have never, ever, ever, no matter how weird or out there I've ever seen any proposals, I have never saw once where anybody ever accused him of killing anyone or being a murderer or anything along those lines. So therefore, if you would think of radical, you know, then you would think of a radical in the peace-loving terms, like a peacenik or something like that, if you were really looking at radical. Because, first of all, again, those inside of a movement usually tend to try to emulate a leader. Now, on the other hand, we've got Muhammad, who himself cut off people's heads, okay? And again, yeah, here we are talking about the taboo. But it's part of history. It's part of history. It's part of what Pamela was saying, that we need to have this dialogue. So whenever we talk about people being radical Islamists or radical jihadists, whenever we can read a story in history, I'm trying to remember the exact year that Muhammad had invaded Mecca, but they took a lot of Jewish prisoners, many hundreds. And it is professed that Muhammad had them bring them out from confinement in groups, and he himself cut off at least, and this is the lower end of the spectrum, 600 to 700 heads. They divvied up the family, as in the women and the children, and he kept for his own goods, historically, 1/5 of the bounty. And so whenever we're seeing these extremists act out, are they really radical, or are they devout? You know, are some of those that choose to live in that peaceful existence, are they actually rising above the teachings? You know, are they, they're certainly not emulating the leader. Most of his early teachings was more on the peaceful side, but anything that is later in the Quran supersedes or overrules that which came earlier. So again, most of what you hear that is quoted about the religion of peace is in the earlier part of the Quran. And I certainly wasn't trying to get off on that. I've got anybody that would like to join me, I'd be more than happy to bring them on here as we close things out. Again, I want to play the clip that Todd Akin should be promoting, that should be on his commercials. It's audio that is ripped from a video clip of a private video, and it certainly should be played. And if you want to join me, 347-677-1835. And again, not trying to slam any faith or anything else. It's just that we should be able to have that dialogue. We should be able to talk about these particular things in the face of everything that is challenging or that challenges us today. And again, I'm going to play this real clip, this little clip. It's McCaskill, that is declaring the good news, and I really want you to listen to this, because if Todd Akin doesn't grab a hold of this, he's got very poor political technique, as far as a very poor political bent that is going to be passing up on something very useful.
Well, the good news is our emissions are way down because of the recession. We are. I mean, you know, really, if you want to find the silver lining, this cloud, the number that we were looking for, we are well above where the emissions would have been, assuming for purposes of discussion, cap and trade was passed a few years ago, because we have had such a real drop in manufacturing output. Now, I didn't mean really good news. I meant that I was being sarcastic again in the context. But our emissions are way down because of, unfortunately, the lack of economic activity that we've had over the last couple of years.
Unfortunately or fortunately? I mean, come on, Claire, which is it? Should we be touting the great news that carbon emissions and that greenhouse gases are down because of the recession? Is that the silver lining that lies within the recession? I mean, Todd Akin, where are you on this video? This should be your primary feed. And once again, I know the audio isn't great. It's a little recording that was done off of, I don't know if it's a camera phone or what. But once again, I want you to listen to what she says. It is a total snafu and a total gaffe.
Well, the good news is our emissions are way down because of the recession. We are. I mean, you know, really, if you want to find the silver lining, this cloud, the number that we were looking for, we are well above where the emissions would have been, assuming for purposes of discussion, cap and trade was passed a few years ago, because we have had such a real drop in manufacturing output. Now, I didn't mean really good news. I meant that I was being sarcastic again in the context. But our emissions are way down because of, unfortunately, the lack of economic activity that we've had over the last couple of years.
Too bad. Right again.
Oh, McCaskill. She's all over the place in that, especially when she's trying to dig her foot out of her mouth when she's trying to say that's the good news, that's the silver lining of this whole recession, is the fact that emissions are so down, and you could even hear her own crowd laughing because they know what she's trying to share there, you know. And there was a while back too that the president. Again, you know, we talked about some of the things that are affecting Missouri here in hour one, and we're kind of migrated back to the national scene as we have a vice presidential debate coming right up. And it's also good to, again, we played some sound clips from Saturday Night Live. Every 4 years, they are worthy of a little bit of attention because they do a pretty good job with their skits. But here was Obama's response a while back to high gas prices.
So, you know, like I said, if you're getting 8 miles a gallon, you may want to think about a trade-in. You can get a great deal. I promise you, GM or Ford or Chrysler, they're going to be happy to give you a deal on something that gets you better gas mileage. All right.
He even chuckles in it. I mean, if Mr. Romney does not grab sound clips of him talking about the necessity of energy prices being high, the necessity of fuel prices being high, if he doesn't grab sound clips like this that show no compassion, absolutely no compassion for those that are suffering through this economy, who is driving a car that gets 8, 9, 10 miles a gallon because it's all they can afford to drive. That's it. Mr. President, they cannot just go up and trade in for a new car. All of these energy policies, they all hurt those that have the least resources more than they do anybody else. They can try to compensate it by once again trying to enable these folks further, by trying to give grants and other things. But the bottom line is that sooner or later that money runs out. Sooner or later we cannot function as an economic power and have energy policies like the present ones. We cannot. And if we cannot see that, we are all in dire problems. But these guys really need to step up to the plate and really start. It's very, very, very effective, as we've seen. The left certainly knows how to use a candidate's own words against them. As you're going to see Claire's $3 million ad buys pound on Todd Akin. Todd, I know that you do not have the resources that Claire Bear does right now, but I am just saying that you want to ring true to the voters, that little clip, and you can get that video itself, even off of YouTube. It's only got maybe a couple thousand views, period. But it should be something that goes viral. And it shows the mindset of those on the left and where they look for silver linings. So we're going to get into Missouri Grassroots Minute. We're going to get that played for you right here. Thank you for listening to Hillbilly Logic on Missouri Grassroots Radio.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You they walk a while.
After weeks of the RNC publicly denouncing Missouri GOP Senate candidate Todd Akin and not a peep out of the Missouri GOP of support, the Missouri GOP has stuck its finger in the air and realized the breeze was going in the direction of the grassroots movement of the party that is supporting Akin with huge numbers. As we know, the establishment arm of the party controls who gets what and when and normally wouldn't give a hoot what we think. But with big names like Newt, DeMint, and Santorum throwing support to Akin, what else could Lloyd Smith and David Cole and their cronies do but save face and announce support for the grassroots choice? This is not only great news for Akin and his supporters in unseating McCaskill, but equally great news for the movement in changing the state party back to representing the true conservative arm and not the establishment rhinos. Now get out there and elect our choice for Senate, Todd Akin. This is Terry Varner for the Grassroots Minute.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
Once again, a great cause. Missouri Grassroots Coalition is sponsoring, and that is Secret Santa. I know I talked about it a little bit earlier, but if you really do not know exactly what the program pertains to, it is about finding things in layaway on the eve of Christmas and virtually purchasing those items out of layaway and letting the store call the folks that are obviously not going to be able to provide that for Christmas for the kids and family, and allowing them to come pick it up for a very minimal amount that's left on there. Most of the time, just like $10. So what a blessing. These folks are not planning on anybody riding in and rescuing Christmas or to be able to make that contribution. And what a wonderful gift. So if you would like to contribute, again, it is a very low amount, but a wonderful amount. Whenever they're shooting for $500, they are just about there. But still we need to contribute to that cause. It's one of the best causes that I've heard of. If you could get your churches involved or anybody else, that would be an absolutely wonderful thing. Back to the election. I know that that we've got a vice presidential debate tonight. One of the things that I was really surprised at, and that is the statistics that I saw as far as blocks of voters, I was really surprised to find that the gay and homosexual community votes at what is estimated to be a 92% participation rate. So, and that's on all sides of it. And that leads you to this little commercial that I come across today. And this is concern for the voter ID laws that are taking place across the country, or at least attempting to, on what federal judges don't strike down.
My name is Janet Mock, and I vote.
I'm Charles, and I vote.
My name is Mara Kiesling, and I vote.
I'm Laverne Cox, and I vote.
And my name is Ignacio Rivera, and I vote.
I'm Kit Yan, and I vote.
Voting while trans means that some of us are told we aren't who we say we are
because of the way we look.
Voting while trans means that some of us are gawked at by poll workers.
Voting while trans means that some of us are almost always asked
to give our real name.
Real name. Our real name. Voting while trans means
getting the information you need to protect your right to vote.
This election, over 25,000 transgender people could lose their right to vote.
25,000 transgender people
could lose their right to vote.
And even if you've never had a problem voting before,
check your voter registration information and make sure your name and address match your current ID.
And if you can, update your ID photo and gender marker now.
We all have a right to vote no matter who we are.
So protect your right to vote. Learn more at votingwhiletrans.org.
And again, you know, it just really surprised me that to see as a voting block, you know, up to upwards of a 92% participation rate by any group, that that totally blew me away, honestly. And therefore, it would also bear weight on why so many politicians are overriding the will of the people in their own states and passing this legislation that honestly goes against the will of the majority of their people on so many fronts. So there's a big part to play in that. When we're talking about voter ID laws and some of the obstacles that some claim takes on there, you know, I'm sorry, but whenever their concern is that you have to give your real name, I mean, really, if you look at the state of Missouri, and now again, and I was talking to a county clerk, and this particular individual is telling me that you do not have to use your legal name when you register to vote. And I talked a little bit about this to Shane Scholler last week in last week's show. So if you want to catch Shane on that, we talked about some of the obstacles with the voter ID and some of the other things. You know, the fact that you did not have to use your legal name to vote it greatly enhances your ability to also be registered in multiple counties at one time. So it's one of the things that needs to be cleaned up in the state of Missouri amongst other states. Really, it should be your legal name. And that was one of the other obstacles that he was talking about as far as trying to enforce voter IDs. Whatever you're registered under may not be your legal name on your license. So there again, they're concerned about votes not counting. You know what? I'm sorry. Register with your dang legal name. And there's no reason. I mean, I don't care if I'm called Bud or you know, Sweet Pea or anything else. Register with your legal name and vote accordingly. That's one of the things that is no excuse and something that should be forced on a statewide issue. There's a lot of things that whenever we look at the two-party system, say even in the state of Missouri, actually all across the nation, we have a lot of people that are really concerned with the two-party system. One of the things that I think that we can do instead of making local races non-partisan, at least viewed as nonpartisan, as some folks are doing right now, really we ought to look at the antique laws that exist in the state of Missouri that limits the ability for somebody to register as an independent. For instance, whenever you went to let's say, register for county council, which I did, I had three choices. I could register as a Democrat, I could register as a Republican, or I could register as an independent as long as I had 5,000 signatures. This is statewide. They really don't care if you register as a Republican or a Democrat. They just want to make sure that you're either or. And really, at the statewide level, we should encourage our legislatures to look back at this 100-plus-year-old law and see if we can't get something changed on there where independents can run a little more easily. And I don't know if anybody's got any input on that. Please feel free to jump in. We're closing things out. It's 347-677-1835. We can take a quick comment if you'd like to have a little input on that. But I appreciate you for tuning into the show tonight. I want you to enjoy the debate. And as we close things out, I'm gonna play one more time, just the short skit of the Ohio Obama skit.
Hi, I got laid off in 2009, and I still haven't found a job. I don't want to vote for Romney, but I really thought things would be better by now.
Real change takes more than one term, or even one president. I don't know if it will even happen in 8 years. Might take 12. Frankly, I might be long dead. Who here has a job? There we go. And what do you do, sir?
I'm a manager at Burger King.
And where were you 4 years ago? Probably working the counter, right?
I was a vice president for Bank of America.
Oh, okay. The point is that today you're a manager at one of America's biggest companies. That's a success story. Probably get free burgers, right?
No one gets free burgers. I actually had to fire a guy for eating a burger while on the clock. He got so mad he threw a brick through the window, so.
There you go. Free brick. Anyone else feel they're much better off than 4 years ago? Yes, sir. And what do you do?
I don't have a job. I just won a lot of money in a lawsuit last year.
I see.
Yeah, I was eating at a Burger King and some guy just hit me with a brick.
There you go. Circle of life. Look, can we at least agree that Mitt Romney would be worse?
Yeah.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You they walk a while, a country.
Saturday Night Live. Once every 4 years, they actually put some pretty good stuff out there. Thanks again for listening this evening, Missouri Grassroots Radio. Do not hesitate to swing by Missouri Grassroots Coalition's homepage and give to the Secret Santa. Also, sign up for any kind of subscriptions or anything else, alerts that we have there. And I just want to thank you all for tuning in this evening. And can't wait till next Thursday. In the meantime, from Head Hillbilly Kevin, you guys have a great week and enjoy the debate.
God bless America.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.